And you mentioned in an earlier conversation that, in a way, one of the things that made you optimistic about the dictators not coming back would be the outcome of this particular case. So in a way, it's very relevant to anyone that wants to keep questioning the status quo, keep questioning the current economic order of the world. Can you reflect on sort of its really broader significance beyond justice for our families, beyond justice for Chile?
Right.
What is it, if its global import, if any?
Oh, absolutely. After Pinochet was arrested, there was a new verb that was created, and that's to Pinochet someone, to go after a dictator or a well-known human rights abuser. And there were examples of it all over. A lot of it was threats of Pinochet people, but it really did affect some of the lives of these people. Suharto from Indonesia canceled a trip abroad to because he was afraid of getting Pinochet. Kissinger has told people he's dramatically changed his travel schedule because he's afraid of getting Pinochet. There were efforts to go after a dictator in Chad, in Africa, another very distant part of the world. There was talk about using the same approach to go after the former rulers in Haiti. It inspired people around the world to think that these guys who'd been so ironclad, that there were cracks in that armor, that they could go after them. It really changed the thinking. The sad thing is, I think some of those efforts have ebbed a little bit as the cases against Pinochet have not, gone fully through the system. If he had actually been brought to trial and convicted, I think we would have had a stronger ripple effect. But nevertheless, I think it really inspired hope among a lot of other people in the world, and I hope that continues.
What's your response to those who would claim that because of the Pinochet president, current dictators will be more reluctant to step down? How do you confront that?
I that has been used so much, and I don't really understand it, because I guess the argument is that while they're in power, they have immunity. Sovereign immunity is the legal term for it. But one of the significant things about the Pinochet case was that they ruled in the House of Lords in England that sovereign immunity was not, that you wouldn't have sovereign immunity for crimes as egregious as crimes against humanity, genocide, and torture. And so even though Pinochet, for example, still claimed to have sovereign immunity because he was a senator for life and so forth, that was not an obstacle to putting him on trial. So I just don't think that is a valid argument. If the international human rights law is applied the way it should be, even a sitting head of state should not be immune for these kinds of extreme violations.
And wouldn't it make someone, though, that has the command of an army more reluctant to step down from that command? I've always thought that that assumes that when dictators step down, they do it because they suddenly see the light, and they suddenly become benevolent and say, gee, maybe it's time now that I let freedom ring here.
Yeah, that's another good argument. The reasons why people step down are they're not because they saw the light. It's really much more complicated than that.
And Pinochet would be no exception. It seemed like he was always trying to gain legitimacy, but each time he would gain legitimacy, he would have to first do a plebiscite, adopt the constitution, adopt the timetable, adopt free elections, and in the end, he's forced out.
Right, yeah. They almost never go willingly.
Yeah. Yeah. Any parting thoughts on how people should be thinking in this day and age? Any lessons from Pinochet from this, from the struggle for economic justice under Salvador Allende to the current struggle for Salvador Allende? I mean, the current struggle for economic justice and the current war on terrorism. when you look at the world, you see massive demonstrations happening more and more frequently across the globe, and yet this specter, this Cold War specter, coming back with its fangs fully bared again. What do you see as the end game?
It's been interesting working on this case because it's had such a long time span, and so you can see, you get a lot of things out of that. One is that I think there's a real lesson here in just perseverance. You know, I've met so many people who spent so much time working in this effort to bring Pinochet to justice, and, you know, if you talk to them 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they probably would have felt pretty hopeless. But it's a sign that if people stick with something long enough, you can actually really change something. So that's been one big lesson for us. But I think, you know, Carlos, as you raised this specter of, you know, now that we're in this war on terrorism, does just anything go? You know, any means, any, you know, should we ally ourselves with just anybody again? That's raising really, really troubling things that make me think people haven't learned very much from the past. So I think that, you know, another good lesson from this whole experience is that you don't just ally yourself with just anybody, that they will come back to haunt you. In the Pinochet case, they talk about the symbolism of the crows that you feed and then come back later and poke out your eyes, and that was the case with Pinochet. He did an assassination right here in our backyard that involved a U.S. citizen, and so you just don't get in bed with these people, and it is very disturbing to see that we might be heading back in that same direction.
As activists, how does the Institute for Policy Studies think about this incredible issue you've just raised of the fact that appears sometimes, the appearance that we're not learning? Are we learning? It just seems like we're back at square one. Now it's not counter-communism, now it's counter-terrorism, but it's the same counter-insurgency, the same CIA, the same special forces.
It's tough, and, you know, because we are an organization that's been around for a while, since 1963, and we're lucky to have some of the people who were there then, still with us now, and so went through all the horror of the Vietnam War and the horror of this organization being under constant surveillance by the Nixon administration and so forth. And there is a lot of fear, I think, for that reason, because they went through all that, worrying that we might go back to that. And so I think that gives us an interesting perspective and more of a commitment to really try to fight going down that very slippery slope.
Well, Sarah Anderson, Institute for Policy Studies, thank you very much for speaking with Radio Blowback about the Pinochet case, the search for justice, the quest for justice, and the quest for justice in many different kinds of ways. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.